Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
From pop culture to politics, this is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. A great day, or is it, for the United Nations? The United Nations Human Rights Agency has just released in Geneva a 22-page statement with a 95-page conference paper calling for countries to root out racism against people of African descent. Now, whenever you talk about some kind of new major UN project, which will reputedly take some trillions of dollars, you got to wonder what exactly is going on. The way the New York Times covers this is the United Nations Human Rights Chief urged members to take action to root out systemic racism against people of African descent, as she released a report calling for measures to dismantle discrimination and for sweeping changes to policing, as well as for reparations. Quote, the status quo is untenable, said Michelle Bachelet, the former president of Chile, by the way, who's the United Nations High Commissioner for Human Rights. Systemic racism, she said, needs a systemic response. There is today a momentous opportunity to achieve a turning point for racial equality and justice. The report covers racism in 60 different countries, of course, prominently including the United States. In fact, it begins and ends with references to George Floyd. Let me go to one of the common sense voices, it seems to me, voices for justice and decency and humanity, who we've been very privileged to have on the show before. Wilfred Riley is an associate professor of political science at Kentucky State University. He's the author of valuable books like Taboo, 10 Facts You Can't Talk About, but he does, and Hate Crime Hoax. Professor Riley, have you had a chance to look over this big, new, massive UN report calling for reparations and a new initiative for worldwide racial justice?
Yeah, I've read it. I mean, I think it makes some points. I also think there are some obvious criticisms, and we'll probably go over both of those today.
Well, I hope so. What do you think is the best part of this report?
Well, I think the reports like this from these international agencies do a pretty good job of summing up differences. So, I mean, if you look through the report, they do break down the differences in the rate of, say, arrests of or police violence against black men or Middle Eastern men in a range of different countries. And there are 59 countries in this report. I think there's some structural issues, though, that almost invalidate the main thrust of the thing. I mean, many of the groups who would be viewed as minorities in kind of Mittel Europe, Germany and the like, Belgium, would be people that are actually of Middle Eastern, often Caucasian descent. And those are some of the wealthiest groups in the USA. So simply say, the problem with almost all of this kind of thing is that people will look at differences in performance between groups and say, these must be due to racism. There's often very little evidence that's the case. I mean, Arabs are, technically speaking, white. Blacks struggle in the United States of America, but Hispanics, 70% of whom are Caucasian, at least in terms of income, underperform blacks. So they're also, we all want to root out racism, but there are also major cultural, practical, regional issues you need to talk about if you really want to do this. Otherwise, you're just, for the 30th or 40th time, kind of blowing smoke and wasting a lot of time on almost political correctness.
Well, again, what's remarkable about this, and I think this is, to me, if I were answering the same question I asked you, which is what's the best part of this report, it's that it doesn't focus exclusively on the United States. It indicates that there are charges of racism, there are racial inequalities, there are differences among different groups, as you wisely pointed out, all over the world. What is extraordinarily puzzling to me, and I can't really figure it out from this UN report, they do mention reparations several times. It is not clear to me who is supposed to be receiving those reparations and where are they supposed to be coming from. The reparations fairy? I'm not sure what they have in mind.
Yeah, there are a lot of very practical questions with a lot of this kind of thing. I'm just going to keep saying this over and over again. So, I mean, one of the most obvious questions, first of all, about reports like this is why do they only critique the West? I mean, so many, many countries are multicultural. In a large number of Arab states, for example, and you might correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't remember any of these being in the report, there's an underclass of people who we might consider black. There are also, to some extent, in some societies, there's an underclass of people who might consider white, Slavic, things of that sort. They're Palestinian refugees. So if you're going to talk about historical oppression, it seems a bit odd to only focus on the Western post-colonial powers. I mean, obviously, China, which has a population of something like 5 million Caucasian Uyghurs that are currently being moved into, let's hope they're just internment camps, would seem like a really clear, obvious target for a report looking at racial or regional biases. So, I mean, a lot of this stuff seems a lot more politicized than we normally think of international agencies as being. If you really read between the lines of the UN and the WHO and the like, the United Nations, for example, has issued formal proclamations accompanied by reports saying that Zionism is racism and the state of Israel should be demolished. So there's some good factual data in there. I don't know what the answer is to some of these practical questions. I mean, in many European countries, minority citizens have only been coming in for the past 20 to 25 years, and that's why they are poorer on average. So I don't see that reparations in the American sense would really make a ton of sense.
Well, again, and they focus very specifically not only on the countries of the West, but they say they focus on people of African descent. Now, of course, what they mean by that, they include of North African descent, people who come from Egypt, which is in North Africa, for instance. But it doesn't include, you're right, they talk about the Turkish immigrants who represent several million people in Germany. And Turkey, there's no way you make Turkey part of Africa. The entire idea of reparations, I mean, this is obviously Amherst, Massachusetts, a home of the University of Massachusetts and Amherst College, and a community that is one of the wealthiest communities in Massachusetts just voted 12-1 in the city council. They're establishing a fund for reparations. To go back to anybody who is black, you have to be black to get the reparations. Who has lived or suffered in Amherst between 1919 and 1969, those 50 years. What are we doing here? Do you really believe there's a future for the reparations movement worldwide or in the United States?
Well, I think I don't mind hearing edgy concepts on the right and the left, and I'd call this an edgy concept on the left, discussed. Of course, we had slavery. But if you really want to have this conversation, there are a lot of questions that need to be answered. One of the first is, what harm are we compensating for with people that were not themselves slaves? I mean, quite frankly, you know, I'd prefer that they had come under different means, but I am not miserable that my ancestors came here from Ireland and from Ghana and from a number of other places, because had they not, I would currently be living in Northern Ireland or in Ghana. So claiming that you're owed reparations because a long time ago your ancestors lost a war and came here from Ethiopia, or whatever the case might be, it's mostly West Africa, there's a practical, logical argument with that that's especially true if you're trying to extend this around the world and you're including the white 50% of North Africans in the African category and so on. Many of these people are voluntary immigrants from fairly powerful countries like the Arabian states to other powerful countries. There seems to be virtually no historical obligation there. Another point here, and again, I'm not totally against discussing the idea of reparations, but in the United States, it would seem to me that we've had institutional affirmative action and mass welfare policies in place since the 1960s. So that's,
can you hang on, Wilfred Riley, if you can? I also want to ask you about Gwen Berry, who seems to be a woman of the hour. We will get to that and more with Professor Wilfred Riley of Kentucky State University coming up on the MedVet Show.
From politics to pop culture and from coast to coast, this is the Michael MedVet Show.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of My Pillow. Here to tell you about my Giza Dream bed sheets. I made sure that they would be everything you'd ever want in a sheet set. I started with the world's finest cotton called Giza. It's only grown in a region where the Sahara Desert, the Nile River, and the Mediterranean Sea all meet. The long staple cotton makes my Giza Dream sheets ultra soft and durable. They come with extra wide pillowcases to fit over any pillow and extra deep pockets to fit over any mattress. Not only that, they come with my 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. I personally guarantee that they'll be the most comfortable sheets you'll ever own.
That's two for one low price, plus free shipping. Call 800-320-6280 or MyPillow.com, promo code MedVet. That's 800-320-6280. Use the promo code MedVet for these great radio specials. Small investors shamed Wall Street by running the price of certain stocks way up to the detriment of big hedge funds, social media, and trading platforms, then kept investors from buying stock. A financial war is being waged in America. With all this volatility, now's an even better time to protect your net worth and own precious metals as part of your portfolio. Nick Rovich, who's the owner of Amfed Coin and Bullion, has always been fair and honest with my precious metals holdings, and now, more than ever, it's a good time to own tangible assets like gold, silver, and platinum. Amfed can show you smart choices, which have been proven winners time and time again. Call Nick and his team at Amfed today, 800-221-7694. That's 800-221-7694, or visit AmericanFederal.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veterans. Nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Amazon customer, it's amazing. I just ordered my second bottle. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after I exercise. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off of BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. Amazon customer, Extendivite works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. Amazon customer, excellent herbal formula. I've been using it to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2 month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Michael MedVet Show, it is always a pleasure to exchange ideas and opinions with Wilfred Riley. He's a wonderful writer and a remarkably brisk and responsible thinker, it seems to me. He's also Associate Professor of Political Science at Kentucky State University and the author of several books, including Taboo, 10 Facts You Can't Talk About. Well, one thing we can talk about, Professor Riley, and in fact I think we should talk about, is this latest conflict involving the collision of politics, race, sports. First of all, one simple yes or no question. Had you ever heard of Gwen Perry before this weekend?
Of course not.
Okay. Now she is famous. I mean, she is celebrated. She is derided. Gwen Perry, of course, the hammer thrower. I wasn't even aware that that was an important Olympic event, but apparently it is. Finished third in the Olympic trials and then turned her back on the national anthem and put a T-shirt on top of her head that said activist athlete. Tom Cotton, the senator from Arkansas, had this to say on Fox News. Listen.
I don't think it's too much when athletes are competing to wear the stars and stripes, to compete under the stars and stripes in the Olympics, for them to simply honor that flag and our anthem on the medal stand. If Miss Berry is so embarrassed by America, then there's no reason she needs to compete for our country.
Exactly.
She should be removed from the Olympic team.
Your reaction, Professor?
Yeah, I mean, as someone who's been a boss on a bunch of occasions, I don't think there are that many absolute morals beyond, you know, the Ten Commandments or the Eightfold Way, but I think there are very often rules almost everyone follows in functional situations. If I were the coach of the Olympic track squad, I would very seriously consider cutting Barry. I mean, the third place finisher in this competition, fourth place was just a couple of inches behind. The first place finisher, who's being virtually ignored, set a new U.S. record. To avoid more conflict of this kind, I think it would cost me virtually nothing and there'd be a considerable upside. So I have a lot of sympathy to that point of view. I mean, the whole idea of being a martyr, you're going to say something brave, aggressive, maybe unpatriotic, and you're not afraid of what will happen to you. That's only honorable at all if, in fact, you're not afraid of what happens to you. If the idea is that you can do this on national TV and people are supposed to praise you and celebrate you and keep you on the team, I mean, you're kind of getting into just spoiled brattiness.
She could also get a product relationship with Puma or somebody other than Nike. Because look what happened for Colin Kaepernick. That career has not been extinguished, though his career on the playing field has.
Yeah, I think this is one thing that people have to remember here. I'm Barry, by all accounts, by the way, perfectly nice person, just far to the left. But human beings are amoral. I mean, we're predatory monkeys to some extent. So, by the way, this obviously extends across all races, religions, whatever. It's human nature. But, I mean, so when people do something like this, you have to wonder, to what extent is this conscious, is this logical, is this aggressive? I mean, Colin Kaepernick was a trash quarterback after his first couple of years. I mean, he was either the second or the third stringer for his team. He was beaten out by Blaine Gabbert. His last year record was 2-14. Like, I'm a former jock and I keep in touch with the athletic world. And, I mean, he's since made $100 million by being this kind of protest symbol. I don't hate the man or his wallet. But when people say Kaepernick sacrificed everything, no, he didn't. He made himself one of the most famous people in the world. I mean, similarly, Gwen Berry, again, from everything I've heard, perfectly nice person and so forth. But she is now going to sign probably a 6-7-figure deal because of the idea that she is this activist, radical athlete. Yeah, if I were the coach of the team, I wouldn't put up with a lot more of this from athletes of any race, any background, by the way. You know, if you win anything during the Olympics, you're going to have to hear the anthem again. We don't necessarily need another round of this going on and increasing, you know, the heroic statue of Mrs. Berry.
Okay. Meanwhile, we have a deeper question here that came up with a soundbite that I played just before you came on the show from President Obama, who was talking about how he believes Republicans have a whole group of voters they don't want to allow to vote. They won't be allowed to vote. And the whole issue of voting integrity. And I was thinking about that in the context of November 5th, I believe it was, 2008, when Barack Obama was elected president. And I think there was virtually a universal sense of exaltation that America had broken a barrier, that racial relations would be better. Am I wrong to think that we have more agitation on racial issues, that we have more accusations of racism and discussions of what racism is and what victimization is and equity versus equality? All of that has intensified greatly since Barack Obama took over the presidency. What happened to the more understanding, more communitarian America that the community organizer was going to help bring about?
Well, my take on Barack Obama, and again, I mean, Obama had some accomplishments, like him or not. I mean, Obamacare was a win for the Democratic side, although it's not the side I'm often on these days. But my take on Barack Obama is that he missed his Nixon and China moment. To some extent. I mean, Barack Obama, when he was elected as the first black president, you were absolutely right. There were jubilant multiracial crowds following this guy everywhere, you know, shaking the hands of people that had shaken his hand, that example from Newsweek. And he had an excellent chance to step up and say, you know, I'm the president of the United States. I can blow up the world. You guys elected me. You know, let's wrap up the residual 5% or whatever it might be of race issues that remain. But then let's start working on class. Let's start working on infrastructure. Let's move forward behind me, a black man. And he didn't say that. I don't mean to be glib, but instead he said, if I had a son, he'd look like Trayvon Martin. I mean, Barack Obama definitely, as he looked at where his electoral coalition came from, did not shy away from this kind of racial provocation. That drew a response from Trump, who's just as much of a showman. And as a result of a lot of this on right and left for, what, 8 years now, the percentage of people, black and white, that think race relations are good has dropped from 70% into the 20s. So you're not imagining things. Empirically, race relations are a lot worse than they were in 2006 or something like that.
But the welfare or achievements of black people have continued to mount and to rack up some real wins, real progress, no?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is one of the points I make. I lean center, right, or right politically, but I'm quite proud to be black, teach at a highly ranked black school. Black people, much less Asians, Jews, are doing quite well. Like, we all, at the individual level, the level of your community, going down to the diverse body shop to get something done, like each other pretty well. The issue is national media manipulation.
Boy, is that ever right. Come back soon. Wilfred Riley, we'll post information about his books at our website at michaelmedved.com. The most important of those books, Taboo, 10 Facts You Can't Talk About. But he does, and you should. Godspeed. We will be right back.
The Michael Medved Show.
Outstanding.
Yes, the pandemic is coming to an end. Restrictions are coming to an end. But body aches and pains never seem to end. That's why you need to click sunny-bay.com for the best sleep you can get. Sunny Bay's legendary products can help, like our lavender stress-reducing products, locally sourced and handmade in the USA. Or try Sunny Bay's award-winning pillows for traveling or extra neck support while sleeping. No need for pills or expensive chiropractic visits. Our neck support pillows are that good. Sunny Bay is a homegrown, small business, but our products are designed and rigorously tested based on your demand and feedback. And they make great gifts for mom, dad, or anyone. Find Sunny Bay products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, or at sunny-bay.com. And right now, get free heat patches and a belt with any purchase. So remember, Sunny Bay heating pads, neck pillows, and stress-relieving hot or cold wraps. As restrictions come to an end and you get back to work, do it the healthy way with Sunny Bay.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
President Biden hitting the road to sell his bipartisan infrastructure agreement. The president heading to La Crosse, Wisconsin, and saying it's a blue-collar blueprint to rebuild America.
A generational investment to modernize our infrastructure, creating millions of good-paying jobs.
House Republicans on Tuesday holding a hearing without Democrats on the origins of the coronavirus. New York Republican Congressman Nicole Meliotakis remains confident they'll get to the bottom of the origins of COVID-19.
We have individuals from the previous administration, some that worked at the Department of State, that have a lot of knowledge, and they were previously investigating the origins of the COVID-19. It is shameful that Dr. Fauci refused our invitation to testify, and we'd like to know exactly what he is hiding.
That audio courtesy of Fox News. This is USA Radio News.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Having your own home is awesome, but it's also a lot of work. The good news? Finding help for your projects is easier than ever. Introducing Angie, the app that puts all your home care needs at your fingertips. Need a pro to fix that emergency leak? Maybe find someone to build a deck, or even set your seasonal tasks on autopilot. Angie can handle all that and more. Expert pros, hundreds of home projects, clear pricing, and the easiest way to book and pay in seconds. This is Angie, your home for everything home. Download the app today.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body Brain and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
It's powerful and inspiring.
And on the Michael Medved Show, since this is such a huge worldwide effort that we're hearing about, it's a response, the UN says, to the killing of George Floyd. And it is a worldwide attempt to make sure that there is a reckoning and reparations. This is the statement from the Human Rights Chief, the High Commissioner for the United Nations. Her name is Michelle Bachelet, and she is a former president of the nation of Chile. And she releases this report, global report, about 60 different nations, way beyond U.S. borders, and the plague of racism, and particularly racism, she says, in policing. Clip 15.
The status quo is untenable. Systemic racism needs a systemic response. We need a transformative approach that tackles the interconnected areas that drive racism and lead to repeated, wholly avoidable tragedies like the death of George Floyd. I'm calling on all states to stop denying and start dismantling racism, to end impunity and build trust, to listen to the voices of people of African descent, and to confront past legacies, and deliver redress. We examined death at the hands of law enforcement officials in different countries with varying legal systems and found striking similarities and patterns. Several families described to me the agony they faced in pursuing truth, justice, and redress, and the distressing presumption that their loved ones somehow deserve it. It is disheartening that the system is not stepping up to support them. This must change.
Okay, the part of what the report puts forward It urges a reimagining of policing to address racial stereotyping, the militarization of weapons and tactics, and the lack of accountability. The report draws on interviews with more than 340 people and more than 100 written submissions from civil society and academic organizations. It points to common patterns of experience for people of African descent in Europe, Latin America, and North America, contending with poverty and with the barriers of education, healthcare, jobs, and political participation. And this is part of what makes me concerned, is one of the things that they're featuring here is they say the report spotlights the death of 190 people of African descent who died at the hands of law enforcement officers, pointing out that few of the victims posed a threat. Okay, they now have a number, 190. They don't say if that's 190 last year around the world. They're saying around the world in how long, in what period of time. And when you talk about this and compare it to some of the victims of racism, again, people bring up the Uyghurs because that's a dramatic genocide of the moment, and it is a genocide. But if you look at the ongoing warfare between Shia and Sunni and the attempts to restructure ISIS and the Taliban and so much of the religious-based and ethnic-based bigotry that's perpetrated around the world, when they come up in this massive report with 190 people in a planet of 7 billion who are people of color who have died at the hands of law enforcement around the world. It analyzes the report as 7 emblematic cases, including those involving George Floyd and Breonna Taylor in the United States, together with cases from Brazil, Britain, Colombia, and France. Only the death of Mr. Floyd, they report, has resulted in police being held to account. This is the idea that this is going to be dealt with reparations. This is one of the bottom line issues that I think is going to lead to a tremendous backlash because it is so profoundly irrational and it's based on that nasty idea of white privilege, the idea that merely your skin color has given you privilege in life that you don't deserve. And by the way, everybody has privilege you don't deserve if you had good parents, for instance. Not everybody does. But that is a privilege and it's a gift. And it's not based upon race. It's based upon, in most cases, some element of choice. Joy Reid, on her show, on MSNBC, was talking about Republicans pushing back against critical race theory, against this idea that there is white privilege, and that basically critical race theory comes along with the implication that reparations are desperately needed and entirely appropriate. Listen to her comments.
You see, what these politicians are objecting to is a factual analysis of our history, warts and all. But what they're doing is far more pernicious. They've taken legitimate calls for critical self-reflection and demonized it into a catch-all phrase that they now wield as a political cudgel. They're so obsessed with owning the libs.
Okay, so obsessed with owning the libs? No, it's obsessed with not going along with a system of indoctrination where you are claiming that every inequity is the result of racism, and that every white is implicitly a racist, and automatically so. Ibram X. Kendi was on Joy Reid's show, and he denied this notion, which is the very core of critical race theory, that white people are inherently racist. Listen, this is clip 5.
Do you believe that white Americans are inherently racist?
Oh, I do not. And indeed, in How to Be an Anti-Racist, I make the case that we shouldn't believe that anyone is inherently racist, or that we should identify anyone as a racist. And I make the case that racist isn't a fixed category. It's a descriptive term that describes what a person is being in any given moment based on what they're doing or saying. And so if a person is saying black people are lazy, they're being racist. But in the very next moment, they're advocating a policy that creates justice and equity for all. They're being anti-racist.
Okay. And do you know of any schools that are teaching that white Americans are inherently racist? Have you ever heard of any school that's teaching that anywhere?
I haven't. And indeed, I would speak out against that school if it was doing it.
Okay, except here's a flashback of what Kennedy said just a year ago on CBS. Listen.
It's critical for white people, for people in general, to stop denying their racist ideas, to stop denying the ways in which policies have benefited them, to stop denying their racism, and to realize that actually the heartbeat of racism itself is denial, and the sound of that heartbeat is, I'm not racist.
And by the way, all the schools, and there are literally thousands of them, that have adopted the 1619 Project. What is the 1619 Project? It says America was built, was based on slavery and racism. And again, should one be not permitted to debate that? Sure, you can debate that all you want. But if this is incorporated in terms of curricula and stuff that children must learn in school, and there are places where that is happening. There are parents who have left private schools, for instance, over critical race theory and its implications. So I call foul on Mr. Kendi and his denials. When we come back, we have much more on, climate change and the change in temperature coming up on the MedVet Show. Even for Americans who've been successful in dodging the coronavirus so far, there's still a problem of pain. There are 100 million Americans who suffer from ongoing pain due to overexertion or exercise or just aging or the effects of everyday living, and Relief Factor can help. It helps exercise-related pain or general muscle aches and pains, and it certainly does for me. There are four key ingredients. Each one approaches the body's natural anti-inflammatory response function from different metabolic pathways. The 3-week quick start can show you how it works. It's just $19.95, 95 cents a day, less than a cup of coffee a day, much less for pain relief. Try Relief Factor. It has worked wonderfully for literally hundreds of thousands, and certainly for me. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, and order your own quick start. Nothing to lose but your pain. The whole world to gain. Okay, how crucial are faith and freedom really to America? Ronald Reagan called faith and freedom the twin beacons that brighten the American sky. What did Reagan mean? Well, you can find out at the Institute for Faith and Freedom at Grove City College, which has just launched a new course on the legacy of Ronald Reagan. This is very important because the course is posted online at the Institute's website, faithandfreedom.com. The course is led by Reagan biographer and expert Dr. Paul Kangor, frequent guest on my show. And the course includes Professor Kangor's one-on-one interviews with the likes of Bill Bennett, Ed Meese, Peter Robinson, Michael Reagan, and more. It's a remarkable offer that you will truly not find anywhere else, and it's free. Yeah, it's actually free. While you're there at faithandfreedom.com, also check out the many articles and lectures on topics from freedom of conscience to critical race theory, from Madison and Lincoln to Churchill and Reagan. You can find all of this and much more on the website at the Institute for Faith and Freedom, faithandfreedom.com.
Hey everybody, if you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with a high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
Attention Americans with an IRA or 401k. This is a message from the desk of Chuck Norris. It reads, fellow Americans, today we are facing uncertain times, higher taxes, higher inflation, higher government spending, and higher debt. As a result, millions of Americans could see their life savings disappear. Now, I worked hard for my money, and I've worked even harder to keep it. And there's a small secret I learned along the way to keep Uncle Sam's hands out of my pocket. Let me show you right now. Pick up your phone and call 866-967-2808 and speak to a professional at Gold Co. to get a free copy of my 2021 special report. That's 866-967-2808. Call now and you'll learn the simple steps I took to protect myself. Now is not the time to sit back. It's time to fight back. Call 866-967-2808 and ask for my 2021 special report. If you don't fight for your money, who will? Call 866-967-2808 now.
And on the Michael Medved show, once upon a time, Nevada used to be a swing state. It has gone increasingly in a Democratic direction. It has a Democratic governor right now, Steve Sisolak. He's up for re-election, and he has a new opponent. The opponent is a guy named Joe Lombardo, who is the sheriff of Clark County, which is by far the biggest county in the state. That's where Las Vegas is. He's a tough-on-crime guy. And he announced his candidacy for governor yesterday. And it could be a significant challenge in one of America's most rapidly growing states. But this is one of those few states, Nevada, well, it's now joined by Oregon and Washington and other states, where climate is a real issue. There are many, many people who, having experienced the truly remarkable, unprecedented heat in the Seattle area. Yesterday, they racked up a peak temperature of somewhere, if you live in the Seattle area, well, somewhere between 108 and 111. Now, to put that in context, in the whole history of keeping weather in Seattle, which goes back to the 19th century, there had only been 3 previous days where you racked up a temperature of over 100. And we had 3 in a row, which we just finished with, thank God. But we'll be talking to Bjorn Lomborg about climate change and the extraordinary heat that a lot of American cities have been experiencing. But the tendency to blame every single disaster on climate change, It's a remarkably bad impulse that people have and display. Jennifer Granholm, who is a former governor of Michigan, who is the Secretary of Energy for the Biden administration, was asked about the relationship between climate change and that horrible disaster in Surfside, Florida, where so many people are still unaccounted for and a dozen already certified as dead. This is the way the exchange sounded on CNN.
But given what we know about the changing climate, given that we've seen an increase in these so-called extraordinary tides and the impact that that can have in areas like South Florida, do you think that climate could have played a role in that building's collapse?
Well, obviously we don't know fully, but we do know that the seas are rising. I mean, we know that we're losing inches and inches of beaches, not just in Florida, but all around. You know, Lake Michigan, where I'm from, we've seen the loss of beaches because the the waters are rising. So there's so much investment that we need to do to protect ourselves from climate change, but also to address it and mitigate it. And hopefully these infrastructure bills, when taken together, will make a huge step and allow America to lead again.
Okay, part of the infrastructure bill that they apparently have approved again, it's on again, off again, let's see what happens. But the latest version did not have a great focus on climate change, and we're going to be talking about this with Bjorn Lomborg later this week, precisely because, look, if there were something you could do about this that would make a difference in a reliable way, in a constructive way, then who would be against it? The truth of the matter is the efforts that they've expended so far, not just with the Paris Accords, but everything they've tried to do so far with climate change, you could say it would be even worse without those efforts, but in terms of improving the situation and redeeming the situation, not quite yet. Though AOC is on top of it. She appeared yesterday together with her new buddy, Cori Bush, the former nurse who is now a congresswoman from Missouri. And Bush and Ocasio-Cortez joined hundreds of other protesters outside the White House. They were demanding the president act immediately on climate change, which is not exactly how you normally are able to work things out in a constitutional republic. But nice try, and I am sure they're entirely sincere about all of that. There's also a number of sort of political notes that are complicated. There's a Republican named Pat Fallon who basically got in trouble. He's a representative. He got in trouble for failing to properly disclose more than 90 stock transactions worth as much as $17.53 million, an apparent violation of federal law. Good luck with that. And NBA legend Shaquille O'Neal has endorsed former state's attorney Aramis Ayala, a Democrat, to replace Val Demings, another Democrat, of course, in the 10th District in Florida. Why? Because Val Demings is one of those people who is running for the U.S. Senate. She's running against Marco Rubio in what almost surely will be a very, very intensely fought Senate race with two very articulate and impressive candidates. I think Senator Rubio will win and should win, of course. The pandemic is not over, writes the New York Times, David Leonhardt. He says COVID remains a serious threat to unvaccinated adults, especially those middle-aged or older. And now the surprising events from the spring may be coming to an end. Cases have begun to rise more rapidly in communities with lower vaccination rates. He writes, there is a political angle in these trends, of course. The places with the lowest vaccination rates tend to be heavily Republican. In an average U.S. county that voted for Donald Trump, only 34% of people are fully vaccinated, according to the New York Times data. In an average county that voted for Joe Biden, the share is 45%. Now, let me just call something on that. The difference between 34 and 45%, both pathetic. And the fact that with all of this effort and all of this expenditure, you can't blame it on conservatives in Biden counties if the average is 45%. How are we supposed to get to the 70% fully vaccinated? I guess it is actually 70%, and that's part of the difference, who are supposed to have at least one vaccination. Meanwhile, there is no COVID theme in a new film about challenges of fatherhood. It stars Kevin Hart dealing with an almost unimaginable tragedy, not a comedy. Listen.
Now it's time for Medved's Entertainment Minute.
Kevin Hart plays a rising tech executive who's forced to take care of an infant daughter when his wife dies suddenly after the baby's birth. This wrenching, often touching true story is called Fatherhood, now streaming on Netflix.
You think you can do this, but you can't.
No, man, you're right. I can't do it. But you know what? I'm going to do it because I'm a father.
Beyond the challenges of changing diapers in every situation, the movie focuses on conflicts with the main character's mother-in-law, admirably played by Alfre Woodard, and his growing friendship with a new acquaintance, DeWanda Wise, in a luminous, scene-stealing performance. Kevin Hart's efforts to inject some humor into the often sad proceedings never really work, though he is, as usual, a deeply sympathetic leading man. Rated PG-13, and despite some maudlin moments, richly empowered by a powerful pro-family message. 2.5 stars for Fatherhood. And the female lead, really, in the movie, who is a woman that Kevin Hart meets after the tragedy, is played by DeWanda Wise, who I haven't seen before. I don't believe I'd ever heard of her. She's wonderful. And it is a star-making vehicle in that regard. Speaking of star-making vehicles, two potential presidential candidates, much talked about presidential candidates, on the Medved show tomorrow. One of them, Senator Ted Cruz, who has been very outspoken, for instance, on this Gwen Berry issue and basically everything else. Ted Cruz joins us about why the fight on critical race theory is worth having. And Mike Pompeo, the former Secretary of State, he's also a former congressman, graduated first in his class at West Point. What does he think is really the number one threat to America? Does he agree with the Biden administration that it's domestic terrorism? And where does he give the Biden administration credit? And where does he believe that it has totally dropped the ball? We'll be speaking to former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo and Ted Cruz and you next time in This Greatest Nation on God's Green Earth.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-633-1378. 800-633-1378. 800-633-1378. That's 800-633-1378.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.